we're continuing looking at where we can see Jesus in the Old Testament, the theme we've been looking at over the past few weeks. We've seen that actually, far from Jesus just being stuck in the New Testament, if we have eyes of faith, he's there in the Old Testament too. Echoes of what is to come and why, all the way through the Old Testament as well. We've looked at Noah, Abraham and Isaac, Joseph, and this week we're looking at Moses. If you have any doubts that you'll find Jesus in the Old Testament still, I read this quote this week and I thought it was good. The entire Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament says he's coming. The Gospels say he's here. The book of Acts proclaim him. The epistles explain him. Revelation says he's coming again. That's the Bible in a nutshell. I like that. We thought about Joseph last week, but now, hundreds of years later, the descendants of Joseph and his brothers have undergone a population explosion. They're now the people of Israel, and they're being used and abused as slaves in Egypt. And that's where Moses comes in. So let's think about Moses together. Moses was an outstanding personality shaped by God and with a calling from God over his life. Not that he knew it when he was placed in a basket and sent down the river by his mother, because all the Hebrew boys were sentenced to death by Pharaoh. Not that he knew his call when he was rescued and saved by the very daughter of Pharaoh and adopted by the palace and grew up in the seat of power, learning their words and their ways. Not that he knew that calling when he was fleeing from Pharaoh to a foreign land because he'd killed a man in anger. And that's where the story of God's call over Moses' life really takes shape. If you've got your Bibles, open them or turn them on if you've got an electronic copy handy that you're not watching on, to Exodus chapter 3 and the first 15 verses, and we'll hear the call of God over Moses. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. You might know that story already. God heard the cry of his children in slavery and gives Moses a job to do, a calling over his life to set his people free. In this passage we've just heard, Moses, curious as to who the voice from within the burning bush was, asks, who shall I say has sent me? And God replies, I am who I am. That's what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God says his name is I am. Moses wasn't the most confident of chaps. See, he couldn't understand at all why God would choose him. But God reassures him that he would always be by his side. So God's rescue mission for a people who were suffering as slaves involved one man. And the reason this one man was going to save anyone was because God was with him. The God who says, I am. Centuries later, God heard the cry of those he loved who were slaves, but not slaves to a Pharaoh, but slaves to sin. And sent Jesus to do something about it. Moses asked Pharaoh who the God of the burning bush is, and the Pharisees asked Jesus much the same question in John 8:53. Who do you think you are? Amazingly, in response, Jesus said a few verses later in verse 58, before Abraham was born, I am. And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. Some of the Jews responded with outrage because they wanted to kill Jesus because he's claiming to be God, the God who is I am. I am was with Moses to save a people, and God I am came in person to save the world. One of Jesus' titles is Emmanuel, God with us. That's the big picture here. The freedom from slavery that links the story of Moses and Jesus. But there's more. Spend some time looking at this picture, which will be on the screen for a bit. It's a comparison between the lives of Moses and Jesus. There really are loads of deep themes that connect the lives of both of those. Moses and Jesus were both born during times when God's people were being oppressed, both hidden as babies because jealous rulers wanted them dead, both lived in a time when a generation of baby boys were killed. Both had supernatural call experiences, a bush and a baptism. Moses spent 40 years in the land of Midian maturing his faith, 40 days and nights on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, and 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in his wilderness preparing himself for public ministry. Moses worked as a shepherd. Jesus came to be our good shepherd. Moses parted the Red Sea. Jesus calmed the Sea of Galilee and walked on the water. Moses fed the Israelites through the miracle of manna and quail, and Jesus fed the 5,000 by a miracle of loaves and fishes. Both Moses and Jesus were close to God. Moses talked face to face with God and had to cover his face because after he'd been with God, it shone. Jesus is God, part of the Trinity, the Son of God, whose face was shone brightly when he was transfigured. If you know the story of the Transfiguration, you know that Moses turns up there as well. Moses established the Passover so that Israel could remember how God delivered them. At a Passover meal, Jesus shared communion so that his followers would remember how he would deliver them. Do you see? Do you see that there are countless comparisons? It's no coincidence. None of this is outside God's perfect planning throughout human history. Everything eventually points to Jesus, even when that's hidden in plain sight. I want to take you back to an incident in the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 32. Moses is up the mountain with God. He spends a long time up there and the people begin to get restless. And while their leader is away up the mountain, they make a golden calf to worship. When Moses discovers what they've done and knows of God's anger, he pleads on behalf of his people in Exodus 32:20. He says this, "You have committed a great sin. But now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I could make atonement for your sin." Moses goes into the presence of God to plead for mercy on behalf of his people, but God is not happy. He says, "Leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." Moses didn't respond like that, anything but he puts himself in the firing line, even though he's done nothing wrong, and says this in verses 31 to 32. "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They've made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. But if not, blot me out of the book you have written. I will take their place," says Moses. "Do to me what their sin deserves," he says. Sound familiar? How remarkably Christ-like. God didn't blot Moses out for the sake of Israel's sin, because he already had somebody else in mind to do that. And about 1,400 years later, it was the life of Jesus, not the life of Moses, that was blotted out to make up for sin. There's lots of similarities, but there is one major difference. Moses was only human. He was a servant of God. He did not always get it right. There was one rather major episode of mistrust and disobedience that had direct consequences. That Moses, after leading the people to the promised land, was allowed to see it, but not allowed to enter into it. After those years of wandering in the wilderness, of leading his people to their home, he could see it, but not step foot in it. because of his sin. He did great things. He spent time face to face with God, but still messed up and still needed forgiveness. Jesus, on the other hand, is both human and God. He lived a perfect life and defeated sin. Moses points to Jesus, and it's only through Jesus that we know forgiveness and salvation. Do you know that for yourself today? I love how on the walk to Emmaus, after Jesus is resurrected, the reading we usually have often on Easter evening includes a direct mention of Moses in the big picture story. Let's hear it. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. He said to them, this is Jesus speaking to the two men on the Emmaus Road, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus points out himself in all the scriptures. Yeah. Moses is a forerunner that saves a nation. Jesus is the saviour that saves a world. Now, I think that level of planning is quite extraordinary. Right all the way back through human history, God is making a way for you and me to be known by him. All the way back in the Old Testament, in Moses, he's pointing to Jesus. It's not accidental. It's not just, isn't that funny? This is God's planning, and this is God's purpose. What else do you need to know that right from the get-go, humans, you and me, are wanted and loved by God? That he's made a way to deal with your sin, because you were always on your mind. Right at the beginning, we see Jesus pointed to by Moses. He points to a cross. This is lavish love. This is perfect planning. This is saving sacrifice. Moses points the way to Jesus, who saves us and who leads us to his Father. This is amazing grace. I think this is amazing. This level of small detail that God has in the behind the scenes planning. And the question I want to leave us with this morning, for everyone who's watching this, either live or later, is, do you know this God? This God who from the beginning of time is wanting you to meet Jesus. Have you met Jesus? Do you know what he has done for you? Of what love looks like with arms outstretched on a cross, so that you can know God yourself. If you don't, we'd love you to get in touch with us so we can share some more to introduce you to the God who has planned since the beginning of time for us to know Jesus and to be known by him. for our sin to be dealt with and for us to live in freedom. I find this amazing. This amazing grace from the beginning of time.